Talk about realism.
Well, realism, you know, is probably the oldest international relations theory out there. It's been around since the, you know, days of Thucydides writing History of the Peloponnesian War. Realists generally like to emphasize that it is an anarchic world out there, that there is no world government. It is a dog-eat-dog or man-eat-man world out there in which, you know, the most powerful actors are states, national governments. And because it's an anarchic world, governments have no choice but to rely on their own capabilities in order to be able to, you know, ensure their survival in a world in which war is an ever-present possibility. Now, given this kind of scenario, realists argue that, states will be profoundly concerned about relative gains, meaning that if they try to cooperate with other governments, the question they will ask themselves is not how much will I gain, but rather will I gain more than other countries. So as a result of this, if these kinds of realist realpolitik dynamics hold, realists are profoundly skeptical that there would be any kind of global war on zombies if, in fact, the undead were going to rise up, in that realists would argue that in all likelihood the great powers, as we know it, would likely use the zombie invasion as an excuse to, you know, augment their own power. And so as a result, they would also be very suspicious of cooperating with each other. So, for example, you know, the likelihood that China would claim that there were zombies in Taiwan that had to be eradicated by force, you'd have to think would be pretty high. Russia would likely do the same thing with Belarus, for example. And even the United States, I think there's a better than 50-50 shot that if you know, the dead started rising from the earth, the 82nd Airborne would be sent to Cuba because we would be, you know, ostensibly some big zombie problem there.
And we would use these as Gulf of Tonkin type of false flag operations.
Right, exactly. That you know, it would allow the great powers to sort of augment and expand their own spheres of influence. And this, of course, would make other states profoundly suspicious of great power intentions. That you know, the notion that there should be some sort of global jihad against zombies would be looked at in a very suspicious manner.
Again, we're talking with Dr. Daniel Dresner, professor of international politics at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. I want to go back to something you said before. You quoted Kenneth Waltz when you questioned for realists. The question would not be, will both of us gain, but who will gain more? And so the notion is that a zombie apocalypse would trigger in some people the notion that this is our chance to profit, get out ahead of the problem early, make sure that we suffer the least.
Absolutely. And even if, you know, they all share a common threat of the undead, you know, there would still be difficulties in terms of cooperation. I mean, we can think back about the sort of classic Night of the Living Dead problem. You know, we know from that classic tale, you have seven people trapped in a farmhouse surrounded by the undead. And yet what's striking is that the people inside the farmhouse can barely cooperate. You actually see the creation of two sovereign jurisdictions, the first floor and the basement. They constantly battle each other over scarce resources, things like food, information, firearms, and so forth. And in the end, cooperation breaks down entirely, and the zombies overrun the fortifications. You know, in some ways, what realists were arguing is that this is what the world would look like writ large.
Talk about the power transition theorists, as you see them, vis-a-vis the coming zombie apocalypse.
Well, power transition theory is a branch of realism that sort of focuses on basically who is the most powerful actor out there, who is the what's called the hegemon, the most powerful actor. So in conventional world politics, that would be the United States. But what power transition theorists argue is that very often the most unstable moments in world politics take place when the hegemon is seen to be sort of failing or fading. In a relative sense, they might be getting richer from an absolute sense, but as a relative share of power, they seem to be getting weaker, and there is a rising power that threatens to supplant their hegemony. And so in conventional world politics, if particularly the rising power is seen as revisionist, is seen as wanting new things out of the world order, then you're in a really unstable situation because the hegemon will have a temptation to launch a preventive conflict in order to try to maintain its status, and or the rising power might be confident of its rise to the point where it actually is willing to take on the hegemon.
So in the so-called realist position, countries that have greater infrastructure for security and for communication would be better able to handle both an external and an internal zombie insurrection.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, to paraphrase Thucydides, you know, in this kind of world, the strong will do what they can, and the weak must suffer being devoured by reanimated ravenous corpses. So the states that have, you know, superior intelligence, superior, you know, coercive capabilities, command and control infrastructures, strong bureaucracies, and internal, you know, the ability to move resources internally, depending upon where the zombie threats are going to be more likely to survive and thrive in a world of the undead.
Well, that brings us back to Night of the Living Dead, though, because what we can see from the country, if you will, that lived upstairs on the first floor was their threat. They had one threat, and that was an external threat of the zombies that were outside trying to get in. And they worked very hard to put up, you know, fences high enough and
fortifications.
So, yeah, fortifications, yeah, essentially to keep everybody out. But downstairs, in the isolationist position that was willing to cut off, you know, the first floor to say we're going to make it on our own, they had a threat from within. They had a daughter that was going to become a zombie. And so right away, I think it goes back to this situation of we think we can order something well enough, but we still have to find a way to block both, as you call them, cross-border zombie incursions, and be able to adapt to the presence of the undead within our own borders.
That's true, although, again, we should point out is that actually both the people on the first floor and the people in the basement saw two threats. They saw the threat from the zombies, but they also saw the threat from each other. You know, so one of the concerns that constantly goes up was that as the zombies come in, you see the people from the basement trying to get trying to steal the guns from the people on the first floor.
Right.
And so in some ways, this is the real issue about realism, is that realism sees threats everywhere. It's not just that they would necessarily combine to see what the largest threat is. That, you know, they will, although power transition theorists would argue that, you know, if the zombies were to form their own state, they would obviously be seen as a very revisionist actor. They would obviously want to reshape world order, and that might cause, you know, something of a balancing coalition to form against that one state. But other realists, you know, are more pessimistic about the ability of human cooperation more generally, would argue, no, they're not going to be able to cooperate in the face of an external threat.